people too rushed.
Hectic lifestyle, misery.
You started there too, mate. Rabbi Zvi Zilber.
Parshas Tumah is very much a new beginning. Until now was what we would call maybe more the stories of the Torah, Sefer Bereishis, and then Sefer Shmois. The Yidden went down to Mitzrayim, came out to Mitzrayim, led to Matan Torah. Even the beginning of giving the mitzvahs, Parshas Mishpatim, which is a continuation of Matan Torah, until there, it's all one long noise, one long happening. Parshas Tumah is very much a new start. In fact, the Ramban points out that maybe Parshas Tumah should be in Sefer Vayikra, because until now the happenings, the stories, and from now on we're going into the Mishkan and how it was built and everything that's in it, and that ought to belong in Sefer Vayikra, which talks about the Kavanis in the Mishkan. It should be all there. And Ramban, in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, in a few short words, answers this. He says that the purpose, the tachlis, the purpose of the entire going down to Mitzrayim and coming out to Mitzrayim, and even of Matan Torah, the purpose of all this is not finished. We haven't reached the tachlis until we built a Mishkan, a place where the Shechinah can come down to this world, to this down here. And as the famous Al-Sheikh says, that this wasn't only a one-off happening then. This is in every generation, in every year, in every person. V'shechanti b'soicham, says the pasuk, and the Al-Sheikh famously says, v'shechanti b'soicham is loshen rabim, plural. You should have said v'shechanti b'soicha, I will rest in the Mishkan. But the pasuk says b'soicham to hint that v'soich kol echad ve'echad. Everybody can turn himself into a Mishkan, into a resting place for the Shechinah. And therefore says the Ramban that Parshas Tumah very much belongs in Sefer Shmos, because the purpose of all of it, the purpose of everything until now, is leading up to getting to Parshas Tumah, is getting to bringing the Shechinah down into this world. This is the purpose of the world. This is the tachlis of Eid, to bring the Shechinah down, to live a life, a gashmizdike life, on a holy level, on an uplifted level, with the Shechinah, connected to the Shechinah in a way similar to the Beis Hamikdash, to what the Mishkan was. So let's discuss a bit, some bits and pieces about the Mishkan and the Kelim in it. Let's start maybe with a short idea about the actual Mishkan. The essence of the Mishkan, as we just mentioned, is to bring the Shechinah down onto this world. And the truth is that al piderech ha-teva, and the natural way things work, this shouldn't be possible. The Shem Yishmul brings that the philosophers ask, how is it possible to command the Yid to love Hashem, to connect to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? It's not possible. The way natural things work, the emotion of loving someone only works with something one has a connection to, equal, similar, something one can connect to, one can get a feeling of love for. How is it possible to command a person? That's what the philosophers asked. How is it possible a person should connect to godliness? Tachten, a person is tachten, and Rebbeinu Shem is the Elyon. And the Shem Yishmul doesn't say they were wrong. They are right in their way of thinking. But we know the answer is a few points. First of all, we have a neshama in us. We have this getlichkeit. We have already this ruchnis in us. So we are already similar. We are already partially connected to the Rebbeinu Shem. So it's only a question of doing it more. But he says, if we look in this week's parasha, where this is all where it started, where we were told to connect, to make a building, a physical house of stone and wood, metals, to make a physical house for the Shechinah, he says, if we look in the psukim, we can find the answer how this is possible. And he says the answer is right at the beginning of the parasha, Asher Yidvenu Liboy. The Yidden donated for the Mishkan with the heart. Asher Yidvenu Liboy. There was no command to give. One didn't have to give. There was no amount. This was purely by donation, by what a person wanted to give. And says the Shem Yishmul, if a person wants, if the heart is there, if one does it with a cheshik, with the heart, then one can connect to Shechinah. Why? And he explains why. Because the Rebbeinu Shem himself is a nodiv. The Rebbe Hashem himself gives and gives and gives, created the world and everything that's in it, and constantly looks after us and gives us everything we need and everything around us. And if a person copies that, he is connecting to the actions that the Rebbe Hashem himself does, and that's a way of connecting to someone. The Shem Yishmael says Betzalel. Betzalel stands for, has the words Betzel in the shadow. The biggest copier in the world, the biggest copier in the world is one's shadow, one's shade. Yeah? You don't have to check out whether he's copying the person. So he says Betzalel here, in a good way, was copying the Rebbe Hashem. The Rebbe Hashem is a nodiv and gives and gives. And the Chavos Havavos keeps on telling us that the Rebbe Hashem is the biggest gives and a mative. So we too, if we give and we have this nedivus, whether it's giving and physical giving, whether it's anything one does with the heart, as long as the nedivus halev, the heart is there, it has a power and one can connect with that. That's the secret, he says, of the Mishkan. That's the secret, how one can connect, how one can bring the Shekhinah down to this world. There's a medrash, just an interesting medrash about nedivus halev. The medrash says, Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer, a story about Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer, he once was asked to look after two bags of Pishton of flax. Someone gave him, two people gave him two bags of flax to look after, and they didn't come back for it, and eventually he realized they're not coming back so soon, so it was a pity to let it lying. So he planted it, and then he harvested it, and then he replanted it, and he grew more, and he harvested again, and eventually it was too much, so he bought warehouses and he bought other things and bigger things and animals, and he grew and grew and grew and more and more and more. After 7 years, two people come to his door, and he opens the door, and they say, "Well, we deposited here, 7 years ago, a few bags of flax. Well, where are they?" And he took them out to the outside, and he showed them fields upon fields, and warehouses, and cattle, and all kind of things. He says, "This is all yours. That's all. This is the two bags of flax." As the Medrash says, Rabbi Lapian asks, he says, "How is this possible? Where did he get the strength to be busy? A person is happy to be busy for his own benefit. A person would plant and harvest and everything, but to be busy for someone else's money? I mean, he could have left it aside and said, you know what, when they come, I'll give it back to them." Where did he get this strength from to be able to be so busy for someone else? And he said he copied the Rebbe Hashem. That's what the Rebbe Hashem does. The Rebbe Hashem is busy and busy and busy and busy and busy for us. He does things for us. He brings a fascinating Sefer Chassidim who explains Matzmiach Yeshua. We say in davening Matzmiach the Rebbe Hashem, in Birkas Yotzer we say Matzmiach Yeshua, is the Rebbe Hashem plants Yeshua, Zerea Tzedokis, the Rebbe Hashem plants. And he explains, Rebbe Chassidim explains, that when a person does tzedakah, when a person does a great deed, the Rebbe Hashem doesn't just keep it for reward, he actually plants it, and he grows, and he replants it, and he grows, gets bigger and bigger. And that's the idea of the Nedivus Halev, that is what brings the Shekhinah down to this world. Another short idea about the Mishkan. I heard a very interesting idea. If we look at the Mishkan, there are two great things happening, two purposes really, two essence to the Mishkan. On the one hand, the Mishkan takes up all what we do. We bring kavanas there, and the kavanas get taken up. Even today, our tefillahs, we are told, go through the mokim of the Beis HaMikdash. They go to Yerushalayim, to the mokim HaMikdash, and from there they go up to Shamayim. Zeh Shar HaShamayim. So on the one hand, the Mishkan takes things up. Takes things up to Shamayim with our kavanas, with our tefillahs. On the other hand, the Mishkan is the place where everything comes down from. The Mishkan is the place where the Shefa, when the Rebbe Hashem gives us, it comes, and we are told, it comes down through the Mokim HaMikdash, and from there it spreads to the whole world. In fact, the Rashi in Parshas Ekev says that the whole world, even the Chutzlot, Rashi has come to answer a question, or the Mefarshim uses Rashi to answer a question in benching. Why every time in benching do we mention Eretz Yisrael? Rachem Na Hashem Elikeinu Al Yisrael Amecha, Ratziyeh Mishkan Kevedecha, Uvnei Yerushalayim. Why are we busy? Okay, if in Eretz Yisrael, you're busy with Eretz Yisrael, but if we're in England, why are we talking about this food, this wheat was not grown in Eretz Yisrael? Why are we talking about Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is, because Rashi tells us, built on the Pasuk in Parshas Ekev, that all the Shefa, all good things, when they come down, not in the physical way we know it, when the bracha comes down from Shamayim, it comes through Yerushalayim, through the Mokim HaMikdash, and from there it spreads to the world. Rashi in Parshas Ekev, where the Torah talks about Yisrael. So therefore we always talk about Yisrael in Yerushalayim when we talk about our food. So on the other hand, we see that the Mishkan is the place where things come down from. It's not still, it's true. The Mishkan is the place where things go up, our tefillos, our Torah go up from, the Kavanos, and is the place where things come down from. This might explain how come we have two main kelim in the Mishkan. We always know, on the one hand, which one is the main keli in the Mishkan? The Ohn. The Ohn, the Ramban points out, the Ohn is the first one that Torah discusses in this week's parsha, is the Ohn. The Ohn is the only one who went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest of the holy. It had the Luchas in it, had the Torah in it, that's why. So on one hand, the Ohn is the most important keli. On the other hand, we often mention the Mizbeach. We always talk about the Mizbeach, Mizbeach, Chodosh, Betzion, Tochin. We daven for the Mizbeach. Lifnei Mizbachach, Lerotzen. We're very busy. The Mizbeach is often called after the Mizbeach. So which is it? The Mizbeach or the Ohn? I once heard it could be both are true. Because the Mizbeach is the place where we offer things up. The Mizbeach is the place where we bring our kavanos, and with the korban comes a person tshuva, a person does vidui before his korban. So that is where we send things up. And the Oren, we are told, is where things come down to. The Shefa all comes down, Nevuah, and all that comes down to the Oren, and from there it spreads. So both are true. There's the what we send up, and what comes down. In the Soren's language, it's called Isaruse de la Sate, what we are Me'ore from down here, and Isaruse de la Eile, what the Moshim sends down from above. In davening, we find a similar idea. In davening, we find, this is a small point still on this idea, in davening, we find, on the one hand, what's the main point of davening? Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei is the highlight. Everything is leading up to Shemoneh Esrei. We go quiet there we don't. There we go quiet. I once heard a marshal that when you speak to someone from a distance, you speak loud. You scream if he's far. The closer he gets, the quieter you speak. Yeah, he's closer. Now the whole davening leading up to Shemoneh Esrei, we go from loud to quiet. Epsuk the Zimmer is very often said louder than Birkas Kriya Shema, which is a bit calmer, and Shemoneh Esrei is really quiet, because then with Mamish Oymed, Lefnei HaMelech, Shemoneh Esrei is called in Halacha, even the many Halachas about it, with Mamish Oymed, with Mamish Tani, we're all standing in front of the king, but this is literally on a high level. So Shemoneh Esrei is the highlight of davening. On the other hand, Kriya Shema is the only part which is definite min HaTorah, definitely the words are fully the Oraisa. Kriya Shema is very much a highlight, very much a main point of davening, and they both could be true. Because Kriya Shema is what is as if we are sending up. We take upon ourselves in Shema that the Hashem is the Melech and the mitzvahs, Vahavto, that we will connect to Hashem, and Vahem Shemaya, Schar Mitzvahs, Ein Shavere, we take upon ourselves what we are going to do. So that's what we are doing, our part in it. Whereas Shemoneh Esrei is we ask the Hashem to send down to us. He should send down. So in Shema, we are sending up what we are doing. In Shemoneh Esrei, we are asking him to send down. So both are two, similar to the Beis Hamikdash, where there was a Mizbeach who sends up, and the Ohn, which brings the Shefa down. Moving on a bit into the actual Kelim, into the actual building. Before we come to the Kelim, let's spend a minute on the building. There's a very interesting point. When we come to the Psukim later on, the parasha will describe the setup of the Mishkan. So there's the kroshim, the planks on the side, then there is the yiriyas, the material covering, the material roof, the three of them, which covered. There's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says that if you make if you measure out how big this roof was and how big the Mishkan was, you'll realize, the Pasuk actually hints at that there'll be a bit of the curtain hanging down at the front. The Pasuk actually mentions that. And the Pasuk says that this last bit, which is hanging over the entrance, fold it over. Fold it over, but it should be hanging down. There should be a bit, the Pasuk says in Perek Chavov, Pasuk Tes, there should be a bit of the roof hanging over the entrance. And there's a very interesting Rashi there. Rashi says something. As far as I'm aware, we don't know where Rashi got it from. It's not a Medrash. Rashi says it. It sounds like Rashi's own idea. It's not a Medrash, not a Gemara. And Rashi says, what's the idea of this? Why do you have a bit hanging over the entrance? It's meant to be open. Why a bit hanging over? Says Rashi, Doime lekale tzenua. Like a color covers the face, the Mishkan covers its entrance. That's a very interesting idea. Because where do we find the Mishkan is like a color? We used to Klal Yisrael is like a color. Matan Torah, the Chosn, is the color. Shabbos is like a color. Shabbos is like Lechadoide, Likas color. We go towards Shabbos. Yidin like a color. Where do we find? I don't know if we find it elsewhere. The Mishkan is like a color instinct thing. We do find it one other place. We do find it. There's a passage in Shir HaShirim where we find it. The passage says in Shir HaShirim, "V'yoyim Chasenasi Shlem HaMelech," talks about the day he got married. "V'yoyim Simchas Liboy," and the day is happiness of his heart. And Chazal explained, "V'yoyim Chasenasi Matan Torah," that refers to the day Klal Yisrael got married to the Ben Shem Matan Torah. "V'yoyim Simchas Liboy" is Bini Beis HaMikdash. As the Mishnah in Tanis explains, we see somehow the Mishkan is somehow connected to a marriage. But let's think a minute about this Rashi. A color wears a veil over her face. That's what Rashi is saying. So the Mishkan has something covering the face that enters. Now a color wears a veil over her face when she gets married. If the color will want to keep that veil on continuously, then we're going to have a bit of a problem. She's meant to wear it at the chuppah, and that's it. Then it goes off. Here we find the Mishkan that stayed there. This covering stayed for years, all the years. What's the idea of that? What's the idea of this veil hanging over the entrance the whole time? And I heard once it could be the idea is that one has to be careful not to become used to things. That the Torah is hinting, treat the Mishkan continuously as you treated it right at the beginning. There's a big danger often in a person getting used to things. Every bar mitzvah boy is so excited about his tefillin. The first time one starts something and you mesechta and you dafayoyim, whatever it might be, one is excited and does it and wants to get there. And eventually time moves on and things move on. And there's a big danger, a big enemy called hergel, getting used to something. And one needs to constantly remind oneself the excitement. One needs to constantly think back to the beginning. And every anniversary is an opportunity to think back. At the beginning, the Torah is hinting, leave this hanging in front of the entrance like a color, to constantly remember the beginning. So today, a color wears it by the chuppah and then off. But here, the Torah says, leave that there, leave that hanging over, to remind ourselves constantly of the Yom Chasenosoi, how the beginning was like, not to get used to it, not to get cold to it, rather to constantly have this excitement, which the Eden had right at the beginning. A bit of a similar idea we find the Oren. The Oren was made from a wooden box with a gold box inside, gold box outside. That box is called a wrapping, so it was wood wrapped, covered in gold. And the Mephoshim asked, what's the purpose of this wood? Yeah, we can't see it. It's covered inside and outside with gold. So what's the purpose? Why is that wood there? The Mephoshim Hirsch says that Torah, the Oren is symbolized to Torah, a person is connected to Torah, and a person has to constantly grow. Wood is something that grows. Metal doesn't grow. Metal, Adam doesn't grow, wood grows. And here the person is symbolizing a person has to constantly grow. Constantly have this freshness, not to get used to, things shouldn't stagnate, stay as they are. Similar to this idea of the hanging in front of this curtain, hanging in front of the Mishkan, constantly be mechadish, constantly have this renewal. Not so. What's the metal on the outside? He said a person has to grow within borders. The borders are the Torah. Metal is a border, can't move beyond that. So there has to be borders inside, outside, Torah, Kabbalah. There has to be borders, which way to go? But the person has to go within those borders, within the Torah borders. One has to constantly. And that's the constantly go. I had recently a story from Waxman says that there's some young girl somewhere in America in the outskirts, went out to some place, and one of the mispalim in the shul there, one of the people there in the shul, he was quite new, she didn't know them so well yet, one of the people in the shul asked him if he can meet up with him, maybe he can have coffee together, so they met up with him, and this man tells him, so the Rav asks him, what do you do? And he says, I make fans. This was a very well-to-do person, extremely well-to-do person, and he asks him, well, for making fans, he becomes so well-to-do. And he said, no, he doesn't make regular fans. He makes huge, massive fans, industrial fans, factories and things. Extremely wealthy person. Okay, so the Rabbi asked, what can I do for you? So he says like this, he has a lot of friends in a similar level, similar class as him, and he's seen over a recent while how many of them have had some change within their attitude, within their essence, And he saw a lot of them becoming happier people, more satisfaction. And he was wondering what it's all about until he asked them. And he found out that a lot of them have made a kviz, a time to learn Torah, beginning of the day, a certain amount of time. A lot of them with this taki, this young person, this young rov. And he told him, for all the money in the world, I don't have this. So can I learn with you too sometime? The Torah has this power to give energy, to give power, to give growth, to change a person, to make a person into a different type of person. To move to the actual Kelim, let's start with the Ohm, the one the Torah starts with. Quite a famous idea about the Ohm, but I want to extend that a bit further. The Ohm, we know the sizes of the Ohm. The Torah tells us clearly how big was the Ohm. 2.5 amas long, 1.5 wide, 1.5 height. 2.5 amas, yeah, meter a bit, 1.5 long, less than a meter, 1.5 high. And the Mefarshim asked, what's all this about these halves? Why everything halves? No other keli has everything half. Bit, some. No other keli has everything half. And quite known, the two basic answers to this. The Balaturim asks it, and the Balaturim says, it symbolizes that in order to become a Torah, in order to become a Ben Torah, one needs to have humbleness, one needs to have half. Always realize one is not there yet, always one is only halfway. Onov, Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest Onov, he was the one who brought the Torah down, he had the most Torah. The Kliokel says, the second answer, the Kliokel says that as much as a person learns, as much as a person goes through more and more limud, more and more learning, one has to always know there's always more. There's always more, there's always deeper, there's always more to be seen. It's quite endless, how much Torah, it's always only halfway. Remember, Rav Moshe Kaufman used to always say, by Siem, Anthony Kölner, and many years, in the Basim, he always used to say, have we finished? Have we finished the Masechta? We who have learnt it well know how much more there is, how much deeper and how much wider it is. So what's this happiness of a Siem? But first of all, one has to know, Avada, everyone finishes according to a certain level. There is a certain finish. No, this idea is not coming to make someone upset and sad. It's opposite. It's come to show the greatness of Torah. But Avada, a person who finishes on a certain level, that's a Siem, and he's done that. He used to always say also that the happiness is that we start again. Hadron Aloch, we can restart. But this half is to symbolize the Torah is endless. There's quite a known story with the Vilna Gaon, that once on Pesach HaLamoed, the Talmidim, they saw the Vilna Gaon a bit upset. Actually, they don't write upset. Not as happy as usual on HaLamoed. I think that's the lotion there. So they asked him, they pushed him, what's the matter? Will he tell us? Will he share with us? What's the matter? He said, well, the Gemara says, if you have something worrying you, you should share it with others, so I'll share it with you. And he said a fascinating story. Rav Lozhin brings the story, the Talmud, and he said like this. As he was sleeping, it was revealed to him, he was taught a lot of Torah. Yeah? And Tzadikim had that. And when he woke up, he wanted to remember. He didn't want to forget it. So he quickly went over it in his mind. Now, thinking and learning before Birkas HaTorah is machlokes. The Shulchan Aruch holds his mutter, but the Vilna Gaon himself holds his aser. So he should not have done that because he holds his aser. And he says, therefore, it was taken away from me. I forgot it all. That's why I'm upset. A few days later, they saw him extremely happy again and asked him, what's the matter? He said, it was revealed back to me. It was given back to me. And he didn't say what it was, but Chaim Lozhin says the following. He says, it was on the Pasuk, it was Divrei Torah on the Pasuk in Parsha Shlach. When Amraglim went up to the, when Amraglim was sent, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Alu Zeh Banegev, go up into the desert. Now, Alu Zeh Banegev, I know one touch, I don't know more than one translation to that Pasuk. Says the Vinigon to his Talmidim, I was given 2,260 pshatim on these three words. 2,260 pshatim, Torah is endless. There's endless. I recently asked in the class, a teacher asked them sometimes questions. So we had a question that came up, why did Yitzchak become blind? 27 reasons. 27 reasons. But a different question, how could he make Bris Mila and by night, by Tzitzit time? 37 answers. 37 answers. The Torah is endless. We go on and on and on. So the half is symbolizing that the Torah has no end. It's always only halfway. That's the on. Now, to use this idea a bit further, that the half is symbolizing something, let's move on a moment to the Shulchan. Now, by the Shulchan, we find that the Shulchan is 2 amas wide, which is roughly a meter, 2 amas long, 1 amas wide, roughly half a meter. So there we find everything is complete. And I once heard it could be the idea is because the Shulchan symbolizes, the Kerem HaTzvi writes similar, that Shulchan symbolizes Panosa. We know the Oren is the Torah, the Oren has the Luchas in it, the Shulchan has the breads on it, the Shulchan is the place where the Shefa of Panosa, what the Yid needs, came down from. Shulchan, Panosa, Moshe, so, Ritzel Hashir. When it comes to Gashmias, when it comes to physical possessions, a person should always feel complete, should always feel, I have what I need. I have everything I need. The way the Mishnah tells us, Ezehu Osher, who's the real Osher, Hasameach Bechelke, the one who's satisfied with what he has. A person who wants more will never get there because we're guaranteed, Yesh Lemon Eroitzim Asan, the natural way things go, a person will always want more and more and more. The way to be happy is by realizing what I have is what I need is what I have, and in being happy and using that the way one is meant to use it. Hasameach Bechelkoi. So this complete number symbolizes. In Torah half, in Torah one should always strive for more, more and more and more to do. In Gashmis, in Parnasse, in Shulchan, one should feel complete. I have what I need, I have. So why was the height 1.5? So why is the height 1.5? The height symbolizes what others see. Height is how others can see a person, the higher something or someone is, the more he's visible from a distance. Height symbolizes what others see from the person. To others, one shouldn't show off everything one has. To others, one should show half. Half is enough. One shouldn't show off everything, not to cause jealousy, not to cause source. And so a person himself, width and length symbolizes his own being, a person should feel complete. The height which shows others, that one should only show. One should only show half. One doesn't have to show everything one has. I've just caused trouble. Another point about the Ohm is a medrash. It's quite a known medrash. The medrash tells us that a marshal about the medrash, about the Ohm, when the Moshe said build a Mishkan, he told them, make sure you have a room, you have a place set aside for me. And the medrash says, a marshal to this king who married off his daughter, his only daughter, and he told his new son-in-law, well, I can't force you to stay here because you're the husband and I can't let you go away either, she's my only daughter. One thing let me ask from you, wherever you go, set aside a room, set aside a place for me that whenever I want, I can come. So the Medrash, the Moshe told the Yidden, I'll send my Shechina, I'll come down, I'm sending the Shechina, make me a place where the Torah, the Medrash said this, I'm giving the Torah over to you, make a place, I can't separate from the Torah, make a place I can join. So the Torah has been given down to this world, hard for me to separate, I can't keep it up here, I'm sending it down, but I want to join. So make a place, make a base Hamigdosh, and that's the Pasuk, V'osuli Migdosh V'shechanti V'sorcham. That's a Medrash. And the famous questions, the obvious questions on the Medrash is, the obvious questions are, why does the Moshe have to separate from the Torah? There's no limit how many Sefer Torah you can write. Write one, keep one upstairs, and bring the other one down. Why? Anyway, the Moshe is everywhere, the Torah is everywhere. What's this separation? The Torah's been sent down here, up there, down here. What's this separation all about? Why can't it be everywhere? There's no end how many Sefer Torah one can write. We find a similar idea in the Gemara by Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, the Moshe wanted to give the Torah, and the Malachim didn't want. Malachim says, leave the Torah here. And then Moshe Rabbeinu came out, the Moshe told Moshe to answer them, and the Gemara used the Pasuk, Shaviso Shevi. Moshe Rabbeinu captured, he caught the Torah, and the question is again, what do Malachim care? If it's down here, it's not up there anymore, it can't be up there and down here. And the answer, many Mephoshim, the Divrei Shaul is one of the some, others, they give that there is learning Torah, but there is something more. The Torah was given over to the Chachamim of each generation, and they not only learn the Torah, but in a certain sense, they are the ones who understand and bring out, but more than bring out, in a certain sense, they create certain, within obviously the guidelines of how the Torah is meant to be learned and how the Torah is meant to be taught, they have this power, the Rishonim gave them this power within the guidelines, how the Torah is meant to be learned, they have this power to understand the Torah according to their best, and that will then become the halacha. We know in Shamayim they wait, when will Bezen make Rosh Chodesh, and that's when the Yom HaDin will be up there. So up there in Shamayim they have tied themselves down to the Chachamim down here. Yom Kippur. When will the Kapori come? When they decide on here? Many other places we find that in Shemaim they have tied, and that's how the Moshe wants it. He's given up, and that can't be everywhere. And that's what Menachem didn't want. In learning the Torah is one thing. A doctor, as many doctors as one will get, and if all the doctors in the world will say a person is healthy, if he is not healthy, the doctors won't change that. They can all gather and make a meeting and say he is healthy, it won't change the facts. But the Chachamim is different. If the Chachamim decide something together the way it's meant to be decided, they change things and they create that halacha, that Dvar Torah. And that's what the Malachim didn't want. That's what Malachim was scared of. They said, leave the Torah up here. Don't give it over to people. And they were scared because people can't. We can't rely on them. And they had their reasons. And Moshe Rabbeinu captured. He took the Torah. And that's what the Medrash means. The Medrash says, I'm happy to give you the Torah, but I need to come with you. Which symbolizes that the Chachamim can only do that if they take the Shechina with them. If the Veshachanti Veserich Kol Echad Ve'Echad, then they have this power. There are many stories to bring out this idea to, as I say, two stories. One of them is, with the Shagis Aryeh, there's a certain illness to an animal which is machlekes shechnoch and remor, whether it's a treifer, whether the animal will die from that or not. And they say there was once a person who was very ill, and he lived in the town of the Shagis Aryeh, and he wanted, or the doctors told him, maybe it would be good for him to move out, go and live somewhere else, to have fresh air and other things. His father came to him in a dream before he moved out, and he told him, don't move out, stay here. And he asked why. So he said, because in this town, this illness this person had is similar on the behemoth. It's a machloek, it's shechnoch, mechaber, amor, whether it's kosher treif, meaning whether the animal die or not. And the shechnoch passed in one way, but the shagis aryeh paskin a different way. And as long as he is rov in town and he paskined that this illness is kosher, then you live. That's what the father told him in a dream, and he stayed there. He stayed there, he survived it. I saw a story, scary, interesting story. The Klosenburg Rebbe, they say there was once a bacher in London who was very much thinking about his learning, and he was once in a block of flats, and he pressed the button for the lift, and his mind was thinking his learning, and then the door opened, and he put his foot in, and he suddenly realized something was wrong, but it was a bit too late. And he fell down four floors down, was unconscious, till Hatzolah came, till this came, till that came, pulled him out, he went to hospital, and the parents were rushed across. The doctor said, he seems he's paralyzed, he can't move. So they went crying to the Klosenburg Rebbe, after the war, and he heard them out, and then they left. Now when they left, he went up to the cupboard, and he took out from the song cover the Shechnoch Yeredea. Shechnoch Yeredea. And he learned something there for 1.5 hours. He learned. Then he closed the sefer. Then he went to the cupboard and he took out the Tehillim. Started saying Tehillim. And eventually the Gavoyim asked him what happened. And he said like this. What this bocha has, is a big shal in Shechnoch. Similarly in Hichas Treifes. Most poskim can hold its treifer. I managed to Paskin, that's kosher. I managed to put together in this case enough to roof him and come out as kosher. When I finished that and I paskin is kosher, I closed the Shechnoch, went to the Tehillim and said Tehillim, and they say the bocha became better. The Chachamim have a power on the Torah. And that's what the Medrash means. I've given the power over to the Chachmei Ador. I've given the Torah to down to this world, but therefore says the Moshe, make me a place where I can join them. For Shechanti, V'Soichom. I saw in a sefer, maybe that's pshat in Haggadah Shel Pesach. A little early to talk about Haggadah Shel Pesach. Oh, nishkefelech. We say in Haggadah Shel Pesach, Inu kervonu lefnei Asinai, veloino sanlono es HaTorah dayenu. And everyone asks, what's the idea of coming to Asinai without the Torah? Many explanations. So someone says, according to this, like this. Kevon if Sinai would have meant and getting the Torah. What it means, come to Asina about the Torah. It means coming to Asina and getting the Torah. V'loi nosan lonu esat Torah. He wouldn't have given over to our hands this, what we said earlier, that the Chachma Adar have this power to be machia in halacha, to decide. That would have been Dayenu. But the Moshe did give us. He gave over that too, that the Chachma would have the power to decide the halacha too. A few minutes about the menorah. Very interesting question, quite a known one about the menorah, is a bit of a practical one. We know the menorah had six branches and the one in the middle, old one, much discussed one. What were the branches like? Round or straight? Is halacha one is allowed to copy? One is not allowed to copy the menorah exactly in its form. Halacha niyodeh. One is not allowed to learn from Parshas Yisrael. One is not allowed to copy the Kli Hamikdash exactly the way they were. So what would it be? Straight branches going in a slant or round? Old question. There's very interesting Rashi. There's very interesting Loshen in Rashi. What does Rashi mean? Hey, chof, hey, pasuk lamed beis. Rashi says. Six branches went out of the sides. Lekan ulekan be'alachsoin. Usually alachsoin means in Islam. Right? Usually alachsoin means, yeah, unless you say around, it's also alachsoin as opposed to what? The sideways. Usually alachsoin is translated as a slant. On the other hand, there is Ibn Ezra here who says about the kanim agulim, which sounds like round, unless the Ibn Ezra doesn't mean like this. Unless he means that they were like a pipe, the width of it was round, not the length.
Round section, not square section,
but in length, maybe he's not talking about that. They know that the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos, made a drawing. Well, others say he didn't do it, but the Parshas he did it where it's round, where he drew the Menachas, yeah.
There is a known
Ksav Yad. Where it's round. Yeah, it's straight. Alright, as part of the debate. Also very well known is that in Rome, on the arch, Titus's arch, which is still standing till today, Titus' arch, which they built for him when he came back, I think a few years later, they built for him. Every general in Rome who won a big war, they built an arch where they made a parade, honorary parade for him. It's not so big, apparently, compared to the others, it's quite from the smaller ones. But the scripted, carved out in there, are a few of the Kli HaMishkan, people pulling it, which Pashas are Yiddish slaves captured pulling it. Well, you can't see on the pictures what they are, but Pashas are Yidden pulling the menorah is one of them. And there, I have a picture of it here, there the menorah is round. Hard to believe, trust that. How to test that? But it's interesting, Mamma came. In fact, there's another problem. The base, the can of the menorah is out of proportion. It's much bigger than according to the Torah. According to the Torah was 3 out of 18, which is a sixth. Here it's about a third of the menorah. So it's all kind of theories about that one. The Bnei Sasser, if one can bring a raya from the following, the Bnei Sasser says that the menorah has in it the Shem Hashem. The menorah has in it Yud Kei Vav Kei. How? The Vav is the middle corner, the middle branch. The Yud is the bottom branch, which is smaller, the bottom base, which is smaller. And the two Hays are the three branches. So he says each side makes a Hay. Now how do three branches make a Hay? How the three branches, that's Abkan Divra Bnei Sasra. Now let's understand, how the three branches make a Hay? If they are straight, on a slant, then you can make a Hay. You have the roof of the Hay, the side, and the middle. So you have three sticks, three lines on a hay. But if the branches were round, how to see the hay there? So maybe from there one can improve. So there's until discussion brings us closer to the actual reality of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah.